truly, I think that it is important that each of us recognizes the importance of the day, that it's the Lord's Day, and therefore he deserves our undivided attention, even as we worship him and endeavor to do so in spirit and in truth. Before I begin, I just want to inform you all, so I think that was an oversight, but today is Brother Brian Gamble's birthday also. So please add that to your list, Brother Brian Gamble's birthday today. Also, I want to thank Brother Daniel Carter. He did an excellent job last week in presenting God's message, and I do hope that in the near future we can have Brother Daniel Carter to speak for us again. Wonderful job he did. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we approach your throne of grace, not because we feel a sense of worthiness, but on the contrary, O God, we recognize how depraved we are and how much, Father, we need you, a need for, Father, for you to look beyond the many faults that we have and see the needs that each of us has. And Father, it is with that sense of understanding that we come before you to worship you with our cups empty, needing to be filled, Father, by your love, to be filled, Father, by your grace. So Father, help us as we worship you, that we will not do so in futility, but Father, we will do so meaningfully, giving our hearts and our minds fully and wholeheartedly to you. Bless this message and bless every listener, wherever he or she may be at this time. It's in the Son's name that I pray. Amen. I think it's needless for me to say that life itself is filled with struggles and challenges. Job did tell us in Job 14, verse 1, that man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And I think that that is very much being played out around us even as we speak. The wise man Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 23, for all his days, that is for all man's days, are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. In other words, man is surrounded, whether by day or night, by sorrow, by challenges, by struggles. It just seemed to be the definition of life today. If your cry is, I need help, and I cannot do this on my own. Well, Hebrews chapter 4, the passage that Brother Julian Rice read for us, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, is the answer to your prayer. Because in this passage of scripture, the writer dispels any myth, dispels any idea that God is so far away that he doesn't understand our struggles. He doesn't understand what we're going through because he's so far away. The passage reminds us also of what Jesus Christ had said earlier on in his ministry in Matthew 11 and verse 28, when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what the passage does is that it challenges us to come with the struggles that we have, come with the challenges that we have. And Jesus Christ soothes our ears when he says, come unto me. How can we forget what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, when he says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And so this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to speak to you on the subject, let us therefore come. Let us therefore come. As we examine Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And so the passage talks about we have a great high priest. And that great high priest, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ himself. But the question that one must ask is, what is so great about this high priest? What is so great? Well, the Bible there tells us that he has passed through the heavens to be in the presence of God. That's what it means. He has passed through the heavens to be in the presence of God, and there he makes intercessions for each and every one of us. In Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1, the psalmist gives us a very popular passage of scripture. We all know it, but one that is worth repeated. In Psalm, the 8th chapter, and in verse 1, listen what the writer says. Psalm 8, verse 1.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above all the heavens.
So here, the Bible says that God has set his glory above the heavens. Now remember what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, that Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens. So he has passed through the heavens to be where the glory of God is, because the Bible says, you, O God, have set your glory above the heavens. So what is so great about this great high priest is that he has passed through the heavens. Now, under the law of Moses, the most valued religious position under the law of Moses was that of the high priest. And the Jews took great pride in this. Great pride in whoever was the high priest. However, we are no longer under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of Christ. We are no longer under the old covenant. We are under the new covenant. And under this new covenant, we are called Christians. And Christians have a great high priest that is greater than the priest that they had under the Old Testament system, because this great high priest has passed through the heavens, where he is in the presence of God, and he continues to make intercession for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, for example, Hebrews chapter 7, and I need for you to turn your Bibles to that passage. Hebrews the 7th chapter, look at verses 25 through to verse 28, and listen what it says here.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Yes, sir.
For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore.
So here, the writer of Hebrews tells us that this high priest was fitting for us. Now, if we're going to have a better system, a better covenant, then it must be that the high priest or the priesthood would be better. I think in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12, the writer says that because there's a change of the priesthood, there must be a change of the law. In other words, the law, a pivotal point of the law was the priesthood. So under this new law, we have a new priesthood. And the Bible says that he's fitting for us in that he no longer needs to be changed. You know, under the Old Testament system, whenever a priest, a high priest died, you had to get a replacement. Under this system, Jesus Christ is our high priest forever. No need for any replacement. And that's what makes him great. So he intercedes for us, meaning that he takes our struggles, he takes our cries, he takes our pleas, he takes our weaknesses, and he presents those to the Almighty God. So he mediates and he intercedes on behalf of each and every Christian. Jesus Christ is great, is our great high priest, and greater than the high priest under the Old Testament system, not just because he has passed through the heavens, but also because he is the Son of God. And there's a mixture between humanity and divinity in this passage. In other words, he is the Son of God. Now, unlike Aaron was a mortal person. He was a man just like us, all right? He was human, unlike Jesus Christ, who is both human, or who was both human and divine. That's what makes him great. And therefore, he does not and cannot be replaced, unlike Aaron, who every time someone died, he had to be replaced, not so with this great high priest. So we can come to him because this great high priest, is greater than the one under the Old Testament system because he has passed through the heavens, and also he is the Son of God, a mixture of both humanity and divinity. That's what makes him great. And therefore, the writer says, we can now come. The reason why we should hold fast, you know, the Bible goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. I want that passage to be read again. Verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest mm-hmm. that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Because he's a great high priest, and because he has passed through the heavens, because he's a Son of God, the writer says, let us therefore hold fast to the faith that we profess. Now, many of these Hebrew Christians to whom the book was written, the book of Hebrews, it was written to many Christians who were once under the law of Moses and had been converted to Christianity. Many of their countrymen were now telling them to leave Christianity and come back to the law of Moses. So here the writer says, listen, because we have a great high priest under Christianity, because he has passed through the heavens, because he's the Son of God, hold fast to the faith that you profess. Do not go back to the old law, because we're under a better system with a greater high priest, at least than that of the Old Testament. And so he gives reasons to his readers as to why they should hold on and never go back to the old system that was inferior to the system under which they were presently under. So firstly, we have seen this morning that we must come to him because we have a great high priest, greater than that of the Old Testament system. But secondly, in verse 15, the Bible says what of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15.
For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
The Bible says we have a high priest who can sympathize, and I think even the NIV says who can empathize with what we are going through. Now, I just talked about previously how Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens, and there he is in the presence of God. One may get the idea that Jesus Christ then is so far away that he is incapable of understanding what we're going through, that the struggles that you have in your life, that the discouraging period that you're going through, that Jesus Christ has no idea what you're feeling because he is some distance away. And I'm here to tell you, nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing. Because the Bible tells us that we have a high priest who can sympathize. And if you dig deeper, the word sympathize really carries the idea from the Greek, one who understands, one who can empathize. And to sympathize is really to try and to encourage somebody and to tell them that, you know, I know what you're going through. But oftentimes we really don't know. To empathize means that you have been through it also. You really know what a person is going through. And that is what Jesus Christ has experienced. He knows what human struggles are all about because he himself experienced them. I want us to understand that even though Jesus Christ has passed through the heavens, he still understands what each and every one of us is going through. By the way, didn't he promise us something in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5? He made a very important promise that each of us needs to underline in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And look at the great promise given to us by the Almighty God.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that means, my friend, that when you're going through what you're going through, and this pandemic really has exacerbated much of life's challenges. I read recently where it said that there's one model that projects that by May of this year, 500,000 Americans alone would have lost their lives from this pandemic. This is in the United States alone. We're not even going globally yet. But the point I'm making is this, brethren. It's one thing to have the virus. But what about the other sicknesses of life? There are still people who are suffering from other diseases. And not only that, but this pandemic, among other issues, are having a mental effect and an emotional effect on people. And I'm here to tell you that even when you lie on your beds at night and you're in deep thoughts about what you're going through, perhaps everybody else is fast asleep, but my Jesus knows what you're going through. Perhaps you have tried to explain to somebody what you're going through and they looked completely lost because they cannot truly understand what you're going through. But I'm here to tell you that my Jesus knows what you're going through, and he knows just what you need. He's our high priest who can sympathize and who can empathize with what we're going through, with all our weaknesses. Why? Because the Bible says he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. And this means, my friend, that Jesus Christ carries with him, even as he passed through the heavens, even as he's in the presence of God, he carries with him the knowledge and the experiences of human struggles, because he has been there and he knows what we're going through. I want us to understand that he was tempted in every way just as we are. To be tempted is not a sin. It is when we yield to the temptation. So Jesus Christ was tempted just as we are. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible is going to be telling us very clearly that yes, we are tempted. Unlike Jesus Christ, though, he was tempted, but there was a difference when Christ was tempted. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says,
"And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin."
And in him there is no sin. But tempted in every way as we are, went through struggles just as we have, he can empathize and he understands. That's the great high priest that we have. Therefore, we can come to him. You know, my friend, when you're going to a doctor, if you have any doubts in your mind that the doctor is incapable of helping you, you're not going to be too encouraged to go and see the doctor. As a matter of fact, many times we will search for doctors if we happen to hear that this particular doctor is very good in a particular area. So we search for him because he comes highly reputable. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is our great physician, and he understands what each of us is going through. And I will tell you that in a time like this, there's hardly anyone who is unscathed as a result of the challenges of life. Hardly anyone. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to find that Jesus Christ is a merciful Savior, is a merciful God. He's a merciful high priest to our weaknesses. Listen what it says, Hebrews 2, verse 17.
"Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto us, unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people."
Did you hear that? Jesus Christ was made like us so that he can be merciful and understanding and empathetic to what we are going through. He was made like us. Do you see why we should come and come very confidently? Because Jesus Christ understands. We're not making this stuff up, my friend. Jesus Christ has been through the struggles like we have, and therefore is highly qualified to intercede, to show mercy, and to help us in our time of need. And that leads us, my friend, to our third point. In Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, listen what the writer says. Hebrews 4, verse 16.
"Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him and grace to find help in time of need.
You know, my friend, here it says, let us therefore come boldly. You and I perhaps will never truly understand how blessed and how privileged we are to be able to approach God's throne of grace. Unless we understand how things were under the Old Testament system. If we don't understand what happened then, we will never be able to appreciate the blessings we have now. Under the Old Testament system, as we're going to find in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, under the Old Testament system, the people had limited access to God and could only draw near through the high priest. So they could only draw near to God through the high priest. And the high priest could only approach the most holy place that had the Ark of the Covenant in it once a year on the Day of Atonement. Listen to what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 and 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat.
Now hear, brethren, God told Moses to tell Aaron, who was the high priest, that Aaron, make sure you understand that to come into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, that had in it the Ark of the Covenant. Make sure you come in it on the day that is appointed, not at any time, because if you do it at any time other than the day that was appointed, which was the Day of Atonement, you are going to die. Make sure that you're properly attired. If these things are not done, you are going to die. To approach the tabernacle and to go through the holy place and then into the most holy place, the Bible says that Aaron had to do so on the Day of Atonement and properly attired, or else he would die. You know, Jewish tradition has it that what they would do is to tie a rope on the ankle of the high priest. That is the folks outside who were not allowed to get into where the high priest went. They would tie a rope around his ankle just in case he ended up dying inside there. They could pull him out by the foot because nobody dared entered the most holy place. But the point is that God took this quite seriously, and the people understood this, that it was only the high priest who could approach God on behalf of the people. Now, here under this new system, under the new covenant, listen what the writer says, let us therefore come how? Boldly. Not the fearfulness that they had under the Old Testament system, because they were fearful about approaching God. But under this new system, the writer says, we can come and come therefore boldly. To make such a statement is a surprise and a shock to any Jewish audience, because all that they have ever known is that there is fearfulness to approach the presence of God. However, under this better system, the writer says we can therefore come to him. How? Boldly, the Bible says. And in Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 25, a passage that was read earlier on, but we're going to read it again. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, we have no reason to be fearful under this better system. Listen what it says.
Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
So listen what? He saves those who come to him. That means we can come boldly because we're coming to be saved. He wants to save us, but he can only save us when we come to him, the Bible says. He's able to save even the uttermost. In other words, regardless of who you are, regardless of what you have been through, you are still salvaged, can be saved by the Almighty God. Regardless of what you have been through. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, very important, because I'm going to read this and then, you know, we'll be more or less be through. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says what again?
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Yes.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help.
That we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Yes.
Find help in time of need.
So here the Bible tells us that the first need that each of us must have as we come to God, that when we go down on our knees to pray to God, our first need must not be for a job. Our first need must not be for good health. As much as these things are needed, our first need must not be prosperity. But our first need must be pardon, must be forgiveness, must be grace, must be mercy. That when we go to God to worship him, we must be driven by a need for pardon, a need to be forgiven for the sins that we have committed. Oftentimes we go to worship thinking that God must be thankful that we turned up today. But no, the writer says that when we approach him, we must approach him with the understanding that we are all in need of forgiveness, of mercy, and of grace. None of us is deserving of God's blessings because of how sinful we are. And therefore, our number one need must be a need to be forgiven by God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul gives us a very, very important passage of scripture, which I want you to take with you as you go throughout the day and throughout the week. In Ephesians 1, verse 7, listen to what Paul tells the Christians in Ephesus. Yes.
In whom we have redemption.
That is, in Christ we have redemption.
Through his blood.
Yes.
The forgiveness of sins.
Listen to this now. The forgiveness of sins, yes.
According to the riches of his grace.
According to the riches of his grace. Do you see that, my friend? In other words, when we come to Christ, we come to him because in him, the Bible says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He has what we need. And he wants to give us what we need. Therefore, let us come. I have no doubt as I close today that every single one of us has the need for God today. Each of us is going through our own challenges. Each of us is going through our own periods of discouragement, period of depression, despondency, and you name it. Counselors and the psychiatrists and the psychologists, they are being kept busy today because of what people are going through. Can I recommend to you this morning the great high priest who's saying that we must come to him because he's a son of God? He has passed through the heavens. We must come to him because he understands our struggles, and that we must come to him because in him there is grace and mercy and forgiveness of our sins. The ball is in your court, my friend. If you're willing to come and you're not a member of the body of Christ, then why not come at this time? Because the Bible says you must come hearing. Romans 10 verse 17, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You must come repenting of your sins. The Bible tells us in Luke 13 verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It says that you must confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says we must confess him. If we don't, he will deny us before his Father who's in heaven. And we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. When you have become a child of God, when you have been baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you must remain faithful until the day you die, because it is until then that you shall receive that crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. If you'd like to rededicate your life to God, maybe there's someone who wants to rededicate their life to God, you can always send me that text and let me know, and I'll be willing to act accordingly. Someone who needs to be baptized, let me know, and I'll be willing, and the brothers myself, to render assistance in this regard. But do not let this opportunity pass you by. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word that you have given to us, not my words, but based on what your scriptures tell us. I pray that each and every heart, including mine, would be convicted and understands, Father, that your Son stands ready and waiting for all who are heavy laden, that they can come and have their burdens lifted. Forgive us, O God, for none of us really can stand before you worthy. And we're in constant need of your forgiveness, of your grace, and of your loving mercy and your tender kindness. Father, it's in the Son's name that I pray. Amen.